We're going to start the second letter to Timothy. It's really a full letter. There's a lot in here. So I was looking it over. Covers a lot of areas. But we're just going to take the first section. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you, and Lord, I ask that you'd pour your spirit out. Lord, that we would hear your word, and that it would be refreshing to us, Lord, that we would learn more about you, and that we would have, Lord, a genuine faith that we could grow, and Lord, that we would look to you. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, a little background as I was reading, something kind of cool that stuck out to me. Paul wrote this letter. This is probably the last letter that he wrote, and he wrote it in prison at a time when Christians were burned in the garden of the Emperor Nero as he would ride around at night laughing his head off. There's a lot of persecution, just something that kind of stuck out, a little something crazy. So as Paul is sitting in jail waiting for his death sentence, he wrote this letter. So in that in mind, it talks a lot about persecution. So Paul opens up, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul, looking forward to his imminent death, dying or getting beheaded, is like the promise of life in verse 1. You know, he's called by the will of God. God called him to do something, and he did it. He's looking at the end of his life, waiting for Jesus' promise of life. To his son, Timothy. Timothy wasn't a blood-related son, but he was real close. There's something that really just connected, just clicked with Paul and Timothy. And I was surprised how much Timothy was mentioned throughout the New Testament. He really had like a back role in Paul's ministry. He endured and he was there with Timothy a lot. Or there with Paul a lot. And Paul says this a lot in most of his letters too. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. We should abide in grace. We should accept mercy, and we should live peaceably and accept God's peace. It's just a cool thing to strive after. To live in grace and mercy and peace. And we should, pray for that for others too. Paul constantly prayed it. I thank God, continuing on to verse 3, getting into this letter, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul with a pure conscience. There are things. Paul was a man of faith, a genuine faith. He stood out. God called him. He was a bondservant. Paul opens up letters. He was a bondservant. He was called by the will of God. He was called by Christ Jesus. He was called. He had a duty. He had a faith. He believed in Jesus, and he followed after him with all his heart, all his might, and all his soul. And he ran a race set aside that God poured out for him. And here he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience. Paul didn't hide anything. He thanked God. He's sitting in prison thanking God for for Timothy with a pure conscience. He had nothing to hide. We should live with a pure conscience. We shouldn't try to keep things concealed. When I first read pure conscience, I was like, well, I'm not perfect. I can't keep my conscience pure. But you don't need to be perfect to keep a pure conscience. You need to keep open and honest with those around you to keep a pure conscience. And then praying without ceasing, remembering Timothy night and day. And then I laughed when I read this part. Greatly desiring to see you, mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Here's Paul sitting in prison. Man, I'm so full of joy when I remember that you were crying. Remember those tears. Every time I really just break down and fall on my knees before the Lord, I cry. And I've never seen Ruthie get happier than when I just break down and I just start bawling. You know, I was reading in some commentaries, when Paul and Timothy separated, there supposedly Timothy was crying because of the love that Timothy had for Paul. So that's probably what he was referencing there. But it's like, you know, to have joy when, you know, when you remember that close bond that you have with someone that you haven't seen. There's joy in that. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. We're going to talk a little bit about genuine faith. Paul was genuine and had a pure conscience. And he wrote this letter to help guide Timothy the second letter to him. You know, and Paul is calling to remembrance the genuine faith. There's something that sticks out in a person that's truly living for the Lord, genuinely, with an open conscience, pure before the Lord, living his life and devoting his life to the Lord. You know, a genuine reality there. Spurgeon once wrote, and I don't have my notes, I was running out the door. There's a reality. Faith covers all the senses. Faith covers your sight, your taste, your hearing, your feeling. Faith is real, and it moves. Hebrews talks a lot about faith in the hall of faith, you know. But there's something genuine. When you genuinely follow Christ, and you devote your life to it, and you believe in it, genuine. There's something that sticks out. Paul remembers that as he's writing to Timothy. Your genuine faith, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I never can pronounce her name, but that's what I'm going to call her, Eunice. Eunice? Okay, Eunice. And I am persuaded it is in you also. So this faith was passed down. Now you can say to yourself, well, my grandmother, you know, didn't have genuine faith, you know, and it didn't grow on as it went to my mom, you know. You can make a choice. Timothy had a Greek father. He could have gone the way of the Greeks. He could have strived after the way that his father did instead of listening to his mom. But as we will find out later in the epistle, that, you know, he heard the word growing up. He chose, you know, to have a relationship with Jesus. It's a choice. You can choose to choose it not. But you can, you know, have a faith if it's passed down or not. You know, there are things that are passed down. You know, I grew up in a real dry, church, a real dry home. The Spirit wasn't like something that we really talked about or wasn't really like moving or alive. You know, and as we look later, you know, we'll get to that later. I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, but talking about the faith that was in, you know, Timothy's mother. And Timothy's grandmother. And that it's, Paul was persuaded that it was in him. You know, you can tell when a person is genuinely following after Jesus. You can see from their fruits. It's real. You know, there's just something truly evident about it. You can see it in people around you. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. This is where we'll get to where I was talking about. We didn't lay hands on people. That was weird growing up because I grew up in a dry area. You know, it was kind of, you pass the Spirit on, get baptized in the Spirit. We didn't go that way. My parents didn't follow after that part. So it's like that was really weird. I'm like, oh no, I'm going to talk about laying on in hands. And, you know, I didn't grow up with that. But to remind you, to stir up, to get back to your first love. Why did you choose Jesus instead of the world? You know, to get that first love back, that genuine faith. Remember the laying on of hands. Remember when you first got saved. When you first accepted Jesus. First accepted the Holy Spirit. First got baptized in water. First got filled with the Spirit. Remember that. Stir that up. That hunger. And then the gifts that came with it. The responsibilities God gives you. You know, the things He blesses you with. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. leaving the house, headed here, I had lots of fear and definitely not a sound mind. I didn't spend as much time as I wanted to studying, and Bella's teeth really started growing, so she was really crying and going on. Like, oh, I thought she was sick or something. I was full of fear. I was like, oh no, what's going on? I couldn't think straight. I didn't have a sound mind. It was like, you know, this is not a good start to a good evening. The guy gave me peace. He gave me love. He showed me his love. It's funny, the order. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. You can have the faith that can move mountains, but without love, it's meaningless. You know, you need love. You can have power. You can, you know, be strong and courageous and do all kind of cool stuff, but without love, it's meaningless. You know, but there's power in the spirit that Christ gives us, and it flows through love. The motivation of love is more powerful than anything in this world. I work with some pretty cool stuff. I get to crush cars and destroy things, turn a car seat into a tin can, you know. But without love, it's nothing, man. The things of this world just don't compare to the power of love. What drove Jesus to the cross, what drives us to do the things that we do in Christ's spirit. So, you know, we should have a genuine faith, striving after the Lord, reading His Word, seeking after His Spirit, not the spirit of fear, not, you know, sensual spirits, but the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that brings us love, brings us power, brings us a sound mind. You know, do you know where you're going? we have clarity. You know, our ultimate destination, the promise of life, as Paul talked about when he first opened the letter. You know, these are all attributes of someone with a genuine faith. And Paul said in verse 4, greatly desiring to see you. Paul's about ready to die. He greatly desires to see you. We, myself included, I definitely should have a desire to see those and to be with those that are hurting for the Lord, that are truly living the way that they should be living. And too often I don't have that desire to go comfort those that really need my comfort. So that was just a little section. Like I said, I didn't have too much time to study. But we should have a genuine faith. And we should be encouraged. For God has not given us a spirit of fear as we go to these, you know, schools or go to work. We shouldn't have fear. We don't know exactly what's going to happen day in or day out. I don't know, I may lose my job. I nearly got into a car crash a couple days ago. I don't know what's going on sometimes, but God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and of a sound mind. Christ works all things to good. We should strive after Him. So that's just the first few verses. We didn't get into it real deeply, but the epistle is really good. It encourages you as we look forward into it. So those are the few things I wanted to cover. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask that you would pour out your spirit. Father, that we would be renewed and restored in your love. And Lord, as we look to your promises, and we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.